Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas daf Yud Aleph. The rabbi left off yesterday at the Mishnah on the very top of daf Yud Aleph, Amid Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landau in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very, very much for the continued sponsorship of the shiur. So today we're going to learn a couple of Mishnayos and the general theme of the Mishnayos that we're going to see today, picking up from the discussion that we have already started over yesterday and the past couple of days about the topic of ksuba. So that we know already that that the amount of money that a person is mechuyev to give his wife in the event of a divorce or a death in the ksuba is going to depend on whether the wife is a basula or a ba'ula, right? So if we've seen that a basula, ksubas basula is masayim, ksubas ba'ula is mana. The rabbi spoke yesterday about how it might not even be a 2-to-1 ratio, it might be a 16-to-1 ratio, depending on what type of money we are using. But clearly the ksuba for a basula is going to be in a larger quantum than the ksuba for a ba'ula. So the Mishnayos today are going to talk about what happens if a woman gets married, if a guy marries a woman, and the woman is a type of woman who may have had relations with another man, but those relations may have been had when the woman was very, very young. So what type of ksuva does she get, right? For example, the first mission that we're going to see today is going to talk about a giyores, so a woman who converts, but she converts before she is 3 years old. And what have we said about a woman who's less than 3 years old? So we've already been seeing over the past couple of days a maisa bia with a woman who's younger than 3 years old is not considered to be a valid maisa bia because a basulim grows back. Or let's say you have a slave who was freed or a captive who was redeemed less than 3 years old. Do we give them a ksuva on the chazaka that they're a basula, or do we assume that they are a ba'ula? Because this Mishnah is going to talk about a giyores, we're going to talk about how exactly it is that a giyores who's less than 3 years old can convert, because the assumption is that you have somebody who is less than 3 years old who's actually being converted. Generally speaking, when you're converted, you have to make the conscious decision that you want to convert to Judaism. So if the girl is less than 3 years old, obviously she doesn't have das. So the question is, who's doing the conversion? Is it Beis Din? Is she converting along with her family? Why does Beis Din have the ability to convert a child who's less than 3 years old? Is it considered to be a schos that Beis Din can basically put itself in a position where it is deciding that it is going to do the schus on behalf of the girl, and therefore it's going to be valid. Similarly, when a girl converts because her family is converting, do we have to give her an opportunity to reject the gerus after a certain amount of time? The Gemara is then going to talk about why it is that we actually pay these types of women anything. For example, if what we're talking about is a giyores having the opportunity to reject the gerus if she was converted when she was a child, after a certain amount of time when she becomes an adult, why aren't we afraid that that we're going to tell the guy to pay the woman a ksuva, and then the woman is going to leave the path of Jewish people? The woman is going to go off the derech again. Why aren't we afraid that we're just basically throwing this guy's money out the window when we force him to pay the ksuva? The Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, and then carrying over to Amud Beis, is going to talk a lot about the concept of mukas eitz. So mukas eitz is a situation where you have a woman who doesn't have besulim anymore because she got into some sort of accident when she was a kid, right? It was not as a result of a maisa bia; it was as a result of a penetration with a piece of wood or whatever it was that she doesn't have besulim anymore. So the question then is going to be, what is the status of a mukas eitz? Is it considered to be nothing? Is it considered to be she's a full besula? Is it considered to be that she is a ba'ula and therefore she gets a ksuva of 100? Is it considered to be that if he thought she was a besula and it turns out that she's a mukas eitz, that she doesn't have besulim at all, maybe if that's a mekachtos, in which case she actually gets nothing? So we'll see the reshitos all over the gamut over here. So again, let's start with the Mishnah on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah says as follows. So if we have a giyores, which is, again, a convert. It's interesting that the Mishnah calls her a Giores, which is Al Shem Ha'asid, which is on account of where she is now or where she will be in the future, and not where she was in the past. It doesn't call her a Nachris, it calls her a Giores, even though the second type of woman that we're going to mention in the Mishnah is Hashvuya, a captive. Right, we don't call her somebody who has been redeemed. We call her a captive because right now she's a captive. But by a Gioris, we're going to be forward-looking because she is entering the status of Yada. She's entering the status of being a Jewish person. We're going to call her a Gioris because we're looking forward to what she is going to be able to accomplish as a Jewish person. But you have a Gioris, you have a convert, you have a captive who was redeemed, Vashifcha Sheniftu, or a Shifcha who was redeemed, Vishen is Gairu, Vishen is Tachru, so you have a Gioris, Shvuya, Shifcha, Sheniftu that was redeemed, that's going on the Shvuya, Shen is Gairu is going on the Gioris, Vishen is Tachru is going on the Shifcha. So Pchusos, which again, the Seder over here is like a little messed up, because first it says Gioris, then Shvuya, then Shifcha. So Lechora should have said Shenish Gairu, Sheniftu, Veshenish Tachru. But it doesn't. Tosfos just says that the Shas is not really Makbid on the Seder, and therefore we mentioned three women, and the adjectives that we're using to describe what happens to these women don't necessarily have to go in order. The Ritva says, no, we do try to go in order generally. However, we're very, very careful when we pick the Seder and the Mishnah, because there are three types of women mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah. The most chashuv among them is a Gioris, because she is trying to become a Jewish person. She's trying to go in the Derech of Hashem, and that obviously is a very noble thing to do. So the most chashuv woman here is a Gioris, so she's going to be mentioned first. Then, in the second part of the Mishnah, when we're talking about Sheniftu, Vishenis Gairu, Vishenis Tachruru, the most chashuv mitzvah is the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim. And therefore, says the Ritva, in this context, the first thing that we're going to mention is She Niftu, just to underscore the importance of the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim. For our purposes, forgetting about the order, the point is that there were these three women, and they are now either converting, they're redeemed from slavery, they're redeemed from a state of captivity. Pchusos mibnos shalosh shanim v'yom echad. And they're less than 3 years and a day old when this happens. Ksuvasam asayim v'eshlam tainas pesulim. They get a ksuva of 200, and they also have a tainas pesulim. They could come and say that they're pesulim. Why? Because even though they were living a lifestyle where they may have been violated, where there may have been a maisabia that was performed on them because they were a guy, or they were in captive, or they were a shifcha, because the maisabia would have been performed before they were 3 years old. And we have learned that a maisabia on a girl who's less than 3 years old is meaningless, because it's kenosa and etzba ba'ayin, and when the maisabia is done, the basulim grows back entirely. Therefore, they have a tainas pesulim, and their ksuva is going to be 200 money. Says the Gemara now, Amar Rav Huna, ger katan, if you have a ger katan, matbilin oso aldas beistin, that you can be matvil him. In other words, you could be tovel him l'shem gerus aldas beistin. So you could be tovel him, so beistin could decide that they want to give this baby a tefila l'shem geiras. So my kamash malan, says the Gemara, what's the chiddush over here? So what are you teaching me with this? The schus ulo, because it's a schus for him to enter yadus, v'zachad adam shalo b'fanav. And therefore, even though this kid is a kid, the kid's a three-year-old kid, he or she doesn't have any das himself or herself. However, Beistin is allowed to be tovel the kid l'shem geirus, because it's a schus to become a member of the Jewish people, and therefore zachen adam shelo b'fanav, and therefore we don't require his das, we could just do it on our own. Okay, so says the Gemara now, Viter. So Tanina, so we already learned this. Zachan olam shalom b'fanav, vein chad olam shalom b'fanav. That we know there's a klal on halacha that you could be zochel adam shalom b'fanav, even if he's not there, even if he doesn't have any das, you could do something that's a pure benefit to him on his behalf. However, we can't do something that's a chov to a person on his behalf unless he has das that he actually wants it to happen. So says the Gemara, the Chiddush is as follows. I would have thought that it's not a schus. Why do we assume that it's a schus for him to come to a Jew, for him to become a Jewish person? We obviously appreciate the beauty of becoming a member of the Jewish people. We appreciate the beauty of being Jewish and of conducting ourselves in accordance with all the rules and all the halachas and being able to perform all the mitzvahs in the Torah. A guy who is living a life of freedom and is not encumbered by any mitzvahs, is not encumbered by any rule set, maybe it's a chov for him to become a Jewish person. Why do we assume that it's a chov? Maybe Beth Kera Nichale, Da Kaimalan, Eved Badai Bef Kera Nichale, because we know that an Eved certainly appreciates a state of Hefker, right? In other words, in Eved, what does an Eved prefer? Does an Eved prefer to be an Eved? Does an Eved prefer to be a Ben Chorin? So obviously an Eved prefers to be a Ben Chorin. So I might think maybe this guy also prefers to be a Ben Chorin. He prefers to live without the rule set that Jewish people have to adopt and Jewish people have to abide by. So I might think he also prefers that, and therefore the Gerus is a Chiv for him. It's not a S'chus for him. Kamash Malan, no, that it is an absolute, unadulterated S'chus for him. Why? Dahani mili gadol tam tami sura. When do we say that some people might appreciate Hefker? That's only a gadol. If you have an adult who already has been towing Tom Isser, who has already appreciated, he's already experienced what it is to live life unencumbered by the mitzvahs and the Torah, maybe he doesn't want to become Jewish, because maybe that's a chov for him, because he already knows what it is to live a free life unencumbered by any rule set. However, aval katan schusulo. However, by a katan, it's going to be a zchus. Tosfos over here in Devarim Maskel Matvilim, we're not going to read it inside, but Tosfos over here talks about how Zochen Lodom Shalob Afanov works midin shlichus. That because it's a zchus, it's as if the person for whom this zchus is being performed designates the one who is performing the act as his shliach. That over here poses a little bit of a problem, however, because the person on whose behalf this act is being performed in our case is a katan, and we know that a katan cannot make a shliach. So if the concept of zachon olam shelo b'fanav works midin shlichus, over here we have a katan, so how does it work that the katan, based on his acting as the shliach of the katan, if the katan can't appoint a shliach to begin with? Tosfa says the question is even bigger, because not only is the katan, the katan is also a guy. And a guy doesn't have a din of shlichus either. So the guy doesn't have a din of shlichus either. He's still a guy before the actual tevila. And says Tosfos that being a guy is even worse than being a katan, because if he's a guy, so long as he's a guy, he'll never grow into the status of a bichlal shlichus. He'll never be able to appoint a shliach. Whereas if he's a katan who's a Jew, at least when he becomes a gadol, he'll be able to appoint a shliach. But a guy can never appoint a shliach. So the Ri gives a chiddush, and he says over here that when we say zachon olam shelo b'fanav, that means only on a drabbanan level. Because even though we said that a katan cannot appoint a shliach, a katan can appoint a shliach on a drabbanan level. And even though he's a guy, he's going to become bichlal shlichus right away, because the whole thing that we're doing, alts the shlichus, is we're doing the tefillah, which is going to make him a Jew anyway. And therefore, we shouldn't say that a guy can never appoint a shliach, because this guy is already like halfway to being a Jew. And because even though he's a katan, there is a din of shlichus, me, derabanan. In other words, through this maisa shlichus, he is actually becoming a Jew. However, that sheet of the Ri is very difficult, because if that's the case, if this din of shlichus only works midrabanan, then it turns out that he should be a ger, not on a deraisa level, but only on a derabana level, because the whole status of gerus over here worked only through a shlichus midrabanan. So how could it be that this guy is a ger, that this guy is a ger midrabanan? So Tosfos explains that we must be working within the Shita, who says that yesh koach biyad chachamim lakar davar mina Torah bekum ve'esei, that even though technically speaking, this shlichus should only work on a drabana level, over here the chachamim said, you know what, we're going to pretend that this shlichus works on a daraisa level. Why? But why do we have to say that? Because if it turns out that this gerus is only valid on a rabbanan level, so this ger is going to grow up, he's going to think that he's a Jew, he's going to want to marry a woman, the woman is a full-fledged Jew, it turns out that this woman is marrying a guy who's only a Jew, midrabanan, so that can't be, it's going to be horrible for his future. So therefore, we have to say that even though technically the shlicha should only work midrabanan, over here somehow he does become a ger even on a doraisa level. Okay, so says the Gemara as follows. Says the Gemara Vayter as follows. So lema mesayelei. So let's bring a raya to this. Hagiyores vashfuya vashifcha. You have a giyores, a shfuya, shifcha, sheniftu, vishin iskayru, vishin ishtachru, according our Mishnah. Chusos mi bno sholoshana mi yamechad, less than 3 years and a day old. So my love dat blinu al das beistin. How is it that this young girl is converting, right? She doesn't have any das, so she's not going to be able to make a decision that she wants to become a convert herself. Isn't it the case where she's converting al das beistin? And therefore, isn't it a raya that zochen l'adam shelo b'fanav, like we just said? So the Gemara, no. Hachav b'mayaskina megarshin is gairu b'anav of nosa v'imo. We have all family. The whole family is being megayer. And so when the parents are being megayer, they're converting not only themselves, but they're being megayer their children as well. D'nichalu b'mayda avid avuan. Because we assume that the kids want to do whatever the parents are doing. That if the parents are converting for themselves, the best situation for the kid is that the kid should be like the parent. And if the parent is becoming a Jew by conversion, the kid is also going to want to become a Jew by conversion. Says the Gemara, even though we do say that it is true that a kid wants to do whatever his parents are doing because he wants to achieve the same status as his parents, Amar Rav Yosef, Igdilu Yicholam Limchos, that when they get older, they can be moche and they can reject the geiris. La halacha, and the rabbi spoke about this a couple of weeks ago at Shalosh Shadis, la halacha, the Yigdilu Yicholam Limchos, that is the halacha, that when they get older, they can be moche and they can reject the geiris. The Rishonim are bothered. What does it mean? What?
You should take care of the problem of geiris and rabbanim.
That would, if they have to re-up, that would take care of the problem of geiris rabbanim when they become a gadol. In the interim period, they would still have a problem, but that's a good point. The question, though, that the Rishonim deal with is, how is it when we say Yigdilu Yicholam Limchos? Does that mean that whenever they're an adult, that for their entire adult life, they could decide that they want to relinquish the geiris? Or does it mean at the moment when they become a gadol, they are able to reject the geiris? And if so, if what it means is only at the moment that they become a gadol, they're able to reject the geiris, how is it that we're able to be mitzamtzim, that we're able to discern exactly when the person is going to become a gadol, to know when it is exactly that he's going to be able to be moche? So the Tosfos Yeshanim explains that that because he's already been noeg, he's already been knowing everything from before he was a gadol until after he becomes a gadol. Really, effectively, he loses the ability to actually be moche, because the truth is, according to Tosu Yeshanim, you have to be moche at exactly the right time. And therefore, when he's conducting himself as a Jew, essentially he loses that ability to be moche. Tosfos explains that after the person grows up, after the person becomes an adult, we teach them about the matan schar shel mitzvos, and after that is when she is able to be moche. In other words, it doesn't have to do with the moment that they become a gadol, because otherwise, says Tosfos, you're right, the after latzam same, I'm never going to know what the moment is. What the point is, after bar or bas mitzvah, what we do is we tell them, listen, when you were a young kid, your parents converted you, or based in converted, whatever it was, you were converted. This is the matan schar of mitzvahs. This is the beauty of being a Jew. This is the opportunity. What do you say? Do you want to do this or not? So it's not totally on the moment that they become a bar or bas mitzvah. It's totally on educating them after that. And then they have one shot to say, yes, I still want it, or no, I don't want it any longer. Says the Gemara Navaiter. So we're about halfway down on Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. Their ksuva is going to be 200 zuz. If you want to say that when they get older, they could be mocha, they could reject the geirus, and they could leave the path once again. So are we going to be misaken a ksuva for this kid, who we're going to force the husband to pay the ksuva, but it could be that when she gets older, she's going to say she doesn't want to have anything to do with the Jewish way of life. She's going to go off the derech, and we're going to force this guy to pay a ksuva of 200 mana to a woman who is going to be a guy. Why are we going to force the guy to pay a ksuva to such a person? So says the Gemara, no, l'chi gadla. But no, what we're saying is that we're not going to force him to pay the ksuva until she gets older. So we're not telling him to pay the ksuva when she's a kid, and therefore there's a risk she's going to reject the whole thing, and he's going to have funded this promiscuous lifestyle of a person who's going to be acting as a guy again. We mean that we're going to give her the ksuva when she gets older. But says the Gemara, l'chi gadla nami mamchaya v'nafke. So, but when she gets older, so the Gemara is now assuming that whenever she is an adult, at any point in her adulthood, she can reject the geiras. So why aren't we afraid that after she gets her ksuva, she's going to reject the geiras, and then she's going to go spend the money at a bar or wherever? So says the Gemara, no, because once she gets, once she becomes a gadola and she isn't mocha, then she is no longer given the ability to be mocha, and therefore we're not afraid that we're going to pay the ksuba to a woman who is going to go leave the derech and leave a promiscuous life, because if we don't pay the ksuba until she becomes an adult and she has already not been mocha on the geiras, we know that she's going to stay with the Jewish people. Masiv Rava, similar question, similar issue here. Elu nairos sheish lahem knas. These are the nairos where you have to pay them a knas. Havala mamzeres, if you are bala mamzeres, vala nasina, vala kusus, vala giyores, vala shvuya, vala shivcha, sheniftu, vishenizgairu, vishenishtachru, pchusos mibno shal shalom viyom echad. So if you violate those women, you have to pay them a knas. So yeshlem knas. Says the Gemara, viyamra tigdilu cholam limchos, same kasha. If we say that when they get older, they can reject the geiras. Yavina la knas to azla v'yachla b'giyusa. We're going to force this guy to pay these women a knas that they're then going to go spend when they're off the derek. Why do we want these women to have a knas if they're eventually going to go potentially off the derech? So says the Gemara. So says the Gemara. L'chi gadla. No, we're talking about where you pay them the knas already when they get older, and therefore they're not able to leave the fold. They're not able to reject the geiras anymore. Says the Gemara, l'chi gadla nami mchaya v'nafka. No, but when they get older, they can still reject the geiras. Says the Gemara, the same answer. Kiven shekti l'sha'achas v'lo michso shoveni l'chol l'mchos. No, because once they become an adult and they have not been mocha, they are no longer able to be mocha. They are no longer able to reject the geiras. And it's at that point that we are going to pay over the knas. So we had two maimarim. The first maimar was Abaya's maimar about the ksuba. The second maimar was Rava's maimar about the knas. So Abaya lo amar ka Rava. Abaya didn't say like Rava with this whole shakla v'tarya, because awesome knasa hainu taima shlo yechote niskar. Because when it comes to paying a knas, we're not going to be so concerned with the guy, oh, maybe we're going to force him to pay a knas and the woman is going to go off the derech, and then the woman who's off the derech is going to have his money. The reason that we're paying the knas is not so that the woman can benefit. The reason that we're paying the knas is to penalize the guy, the bum, who was boal her. So we want that guy to pay up regardless of whether the woman is going to remain a Jew or whether she's going to reject the geirus and go back to a non-Jewish way of life. And Rava lo amar kabaya, Rava illustrated this whole concept, this whole shakla v'tarya, the back and forth, in the case of knas and not in the case of ksuva, because ksuva in a time ashlote kala b'nei lo tzia. Because again, by ksuva, the whole purpose of the ksuva is not to reward the woman. It's not a windfall for the woman. It's in order to preserve the sanctity of marriage, like we were discussing yesterday. And shlote kala b'nei lo tzia, we don't care what the woman is doing at the time that she gets to spend their money. We want to impose a financial burden on the husband so that he appreciates the sanctity of marriage and doesn't run for the hills at the first sign of discord. And therefore, it turns out that we would, according to both, but for different reasons, we would want the money to be paid in both of these situations, even though, yes, hypothetically, there is a risk that the woman may again go off the derech and may reject the geiras. Okay, says the next Mishnah, 4-5 lines up from the bottom. A gadol shabal aktana, if you have a gadol who has bia with a ktana, the katan shabal agdola, and a katan who is younger than 9 years old, who has bia with a gadola, where his bia is not a bia, says Rashi. And a katana balaktana over here, the katana Rashi says we're talking about a girl who's less than three. And again, we've said that a girl who's less than three, even if you have a maisa bia with her, which is sick anyway, but even if you have a maisa bia with her, the bia is not a bia. It doesn't break the pesulim. And also, the maisa bia of a katan is not anything. Umukos eitz, and somebody who is a mukas eitz, and even though she is not really, she's not physically a besula, meaning she doesn't have besulim, but she never had relations with a man because she got into an accident somehow that her besulim was ruptured, and that's why she doesn't have besulim. Ksuvas amasayim, their ksuva is going to be 200 because we're going to treat them all like a besula. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the sheet of Rabbi Meir. The chachamim say mukasei ksuvas amana. No, that the mukaseitz has a ksuva of amana because, unlike these other women, unlike a ktana, where if she had a maisabia when she was younger than three, the besulim grows back. Unlike a woman who had a maisabia with a katan younger than nine, where the katan younger than nine does not have the ability to break the besulim, so they physically are besulos, the mukaseis, even though she never had relations with a man, so it's not her fault, really it was an accident, however, physically she's not a besula, and therefore the chachamim say your ksuva is going to be a maneh, it's not going to be a masayim. It's not going to be 200. Next case in the Mishnah, besula almana grusha v'chalusa minanasuin. An interesting case. You have a besula, or an almana, or a grusha, or a chalutza from marriage. So how can it be? How can you have a besula from marriage? Most people who are married are having bia. All people who are married should be having bia, and therefore, how could it be that they were married and you're still calling her a besula after that marriage terminates? So Rashi explains, kigon shenichnas al chuppah umeis baila b'cheska shelo nivala. Because she enters the chuppah, and right after the chuppah, tragically, her husband dies. So even though she was married, she has a status. We assume that she never had bia. Nevertheless, ksuvaso mane. Nevertheless, the ksuva is only going to be a mane if she marries somebody else. The ksuva is going to be a mane. It's not going to be masayim. So the Rashba explains the reason that her ksuva is going to be a mane, even though we just called her a besula. So it's interesting. Why would her ksuva be a mane? We just called her a besula. So the Rashba says the reason that the ksuva of a besula is a mane is because a besula, somebody who's never been with a man, has a certain chain. They have a certain type of disposition. This woman, even though physically she's a besula, she was married already. So she's not going to have that same chain as a real besula, as a real proper, full-fledged besula who was never married to anybody. So any of these women, if they were married, their ksuva is going to be a mana the next time around. The next time they get married, ve'ein lahem tainas besulam, flipping over to Yadal from the base, and they don't have a tainas besulam. So in other words, ein yachol lafsida osa mana v'lomar b'cheskas besula nasasich v'arei mekhi mekachtos. In other words, they don't have a tainas besulam, meaning that Rashi explains that there could be a situation where the guy is going to try to get out of paying the ksuva altogether. So really, even though he only owes 100, he's going to say, you know what, I married you on the assumption that you were a besula. And because I married you on the assumption that you're a besula, and it turns out that you're a be'ula, now we're outside the context of the basic halacha of the besula gets 200, the almana gets 100. Now we're in the realm of mekachtos. He's going to say, you sold me a bill of goods. I thought you were a besula. It turns out that you're a be'ula, therefore you don't get anything. So he might try to deprive her of everything. Says the Mishnah, as explained by Rashi, the guy doesn't have a tainas besulam. There is no assumption, there's no valid assumption that these women are a besula because they were all already married. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah now Vayter on the top, Agioras vashvuya vashivcha sheniftu v'shenesh gairu v'shenesh sakru yiseiros albano shalashanam v'yamechad. If they are freed or if they convert when they're older than 3 years and a day, again, the assumption is that they're going to be a be'ula, therefore the ksuva is going to be a mana, it's not going to be a masayim, and the guy cannot claim, oh, I assume that you were a besula, and therefore, if he turns out that she's a be'ula, he wants to get out of paying her everything because of mekachtos. He doesn't have that ability because he should have known there was no basis for the assumption that these women were besulos because they were freed from captivity or they were nizgayer when they were already older than 3 years old and already they were having bia. Says the Gemara now. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Katan haba ala gdola. If a katan has bia with a gdola, asa mukas eitz. They make her a mukas eitz. In other words, so what this means, a mukas eitz means, on the one hand, the bia is not considered to be a maisa bia. On the other hand, what the Gemara is now saying is that the maisa bia performed between a katan and a gdola does have the effect of physically destroying her besulin, like a mukas eitz, where even though she never had relations with a man, her besulim is no longer intact. So that's what the Gemara says. Rav Yudam Arav says, if a katan has relations with a gdola, he makes her a mukas eitz because he physically breaks her besulim. Ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel, amar, ein mukas eitz bebasar. When they came before Shmuel, Shmuel said, ein mukas eitz bebasar. There's no such thing as a mukas eitz by basar, meaning by mukas eitz, there's no such thing as a mukas eitz by an actual act of physical bia. In other words, either she's made a ba'ula, or she's still a besula, but she's definitely not going to be a mukas eitz. Tosfos over here says that this shita of Shmuel is only when there's no dam, right? If there's no dam, then what we say is either the act of bia of the katan was everything or it's nothing, but it definitely doesn't make her a mukas eitz. Says the Gemara Navaiter, Iga Damasni Lala Shmaita Bapi Nafshe, Bapi Nafshah. Some learn this as a standalone brisa. Katana Bala Gdola. If you have a katan who's Bala Gdola, Rav Amar Asom Mukas Eitz, Rav says it makes her into Mukas Eitz, Ushmuel Amar Ein Mukas Eitz Babasar. So instead of people reporting to Shmuel and in the name of Rav, it's Rav and Shmuel arguing themselves. Rav says that a katan, a kid who's younger than 9 years and a day old, has bia with a woman. He makes her into a mukas eitz, and Shmuel says there's no mukas eitz babasar. Either she's a full-fledged besula or she's a ba'ula, but you definitely can't make her into a mukas eitz. So Masav Rav Hoshaya, gadol sheba laktana, that we're going to ask from the following. So you have a gadol who's ba laktana, v'katana ba lagdola, and a katan who's ba lagdola, umukas eitz, and a mukas eitz, k'suvasa masayim div Rav Meir. This is a quote from our Mishnah. The k'suva is 200, that's Rav Meir Shita. The Chachamim Omrim and the Chachamim say that Mukas Eitz Ksuva Samane, that a Mukas Eitz is a Ksuva of a Mane. And the Chachamim only argue by a case of Mukas Eitz. The Chachamim don't argue by the case of a Katan that's Boal Lekatana. But if you want to say, like the Shita of Rav, that a Katan who's Boal Lekatana also makes her into a Mukas Eitz, so why did the Chachamim only argue on the case of Mukas Eitz that the Ksuva is a Mane? They should also argue on the case of Katan Boal Lekatana that the Ksuva is only a Mane. So I'm a Rava Achi Kamar. No, because you're misinterpreting the Mishnah. Gadol Boal Lekatana v'lo klum. A gadol who has bia with a ktano is less than 3 years and a day old. That is a meaningless act. It has no effect whatsoever. The pachas mikan kenosan etzba ba'ayin dami. That's what we've been saying. If you have bia with a girl who's less than 3 years old, it's like nosan etzba ba'ayin. It has no physical effect whatsoever. The katan abal agdola, if a katan is ba'al agdola, asa mukas eitz, you make her a mukas eitz, meaning hainuach, it's the same case. Mukas eitz is the same case. It has the same status of a gadol as a katan abal agdola. Mukas eitz gufa, and the status of a mukas eitz itself, plukta the Rav Meir Rabbanan. That's a machlokas, that's a subject of a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Rabbanan, whether the ksuba is 200 or whether the ksuba is 100. Says the Gemara, further qualification. Amar Rabbi Marchama machlokas kashiikerba. The machlokas is when he appreciates, when he knows going into the marriage that she's a mukas eitz. What's the basis between the machlokas of Rav Meir and Chachamim, whether the mukas eitz is going to get a ksuba of 200 or 100? The Rav Meir medami lo lebogeres, but Rav Meir compares the mukas eitz to a bogeres. A bogeres is a girl who is older than 12 and a half years old. And when a girl is older than 12 and a half years old, the Gemara assumes that her besulin weakens a little bit. So in other words, she doesn't really have the full besulim that she had when she was a naira. And therefore, just like a bogeres, if a girl gets married when she's a bogeres, clearly she gets a ksuva of 200. So too, a mukas eitz, which is like a bogeres because the besulim is not strong, just like by a bogeres, the besulim is not strong, her ksuva should also be 200. Rabbanan medami lo lebula, but the Rabbanan say, no, this is not like a bogeres. The bogeres never had bia. It's not physically her besulim is not going to be as strong or as intact as it was when she was a naira. This girl, actually has her basulim ruptured because it's a mukas eitz. Therefore, she's like a ba'ula. But that's only the machlokas, is only when he knew going into the marriage what her status was. Avalo hikar ba divrei akol v'lo klum. However, if he marries the girl assuming she's a ba'ula, and it turns out that she's a mukas eitz, meaning he didn't know that she was a mukas eitz when he married her, then she gets nothing because it's a mekachtos. She should have told him that she was a mukas eitz, and therefore it's a mekachtos. She totally forfeits her ksuva entirely. Rav Meir amai medami le bogeret and mai le ba'ula. Why does Rav Meir, in the case of Hikarba, in the case where he knew that she was a mukas eitz, so he said the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim can be explained as follows. Rav Meir says that we're going to compare the mukas eitz to a bogeres, and therefore just like a bogeres gets a ksuva of masayim, so to a mukas eitz gets a ksuva of masayim. Whereas the Chachamim compare her to a ba'ula. So we're asking Rav Meir, why does he compare her to a bogeres? Let's compare her to a ba'ula, because there's been an act that's been performed. Says the Gemara, no, ba'ula is aved b'maisa b'dei adam. Holo is aved b'maisa b'dei adam. Because by a ba'ula, there was a maisa b'dei adam. There was a physical act of via. Here there was some sort of accident that caused her basulim to be ruptured, but there was no maisa b'dei adam. Rabbanan, but now the Gemara flips the kasha. Why do we compare her to a ba'ula? Why don't we compare her to a bogeres and let her get a ksuva of 200? So say the chachamim, bogeres, lo es aved b'maisa klal. Because they're not like one another. A bogeres, there's no maisa with her at all. She stam ages out. In other words, she is growing older. And as she physically grows older, for some reason, the basulim weakens a little bit. Ho, aved b'maisa. Whereas over here, there is a maisa that's performed. It's not a maisa b'dei adam, but it's definitely a maisa that's been performed. And that's why she doesn't have her basulim anymore. Avaloiker baladivri akol v'lo klum. However, if he did not appreciate that she was a mukas eitz going into the marriage, then she gets nothing. Most of Rav Nachman asks on the following. He omeris mukas eitz ani. If she says, she tainas that she's a mukas eitz, vu omer lo kiela drusash ish at. And she says, and he says, no, you're not a mukas eitz, you had bia with a person. Nafkamina being, if she gets a ksuva of 200, according to Rav Meir, or of 100, right? Because if she's a mukas eitz, she gets a ksuva of 200. If she's a ba'ula, then she gets a ksuva of 100. So Rav Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer omrim nemenes. Rav Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say that she's believed, that she's believed, and therefore you have to give her a ksuva of 200. So Ella Marava. So, but the problem is, what do we see here? If she's nemenes, if she's believed, and then she could collect her ksuva, the guy didn't know that she was a mukas eitz going into the marriage. I thought we had explained in our Mishnah that the whole machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is only where he appreciated that she's a mukas eitz. That Rav Meir says that she gets a ksuva of 200, the Chachamim say she gets a ksuva of 100. But where he didn't realize that she was a mukas eitz at all, she gets nothing. It's a mekachtos. Over here, the guy didn't know that she was a mukas eitz. They're arguing about whether she was a mukas eitz or a ba'ula, but it turns out that she would get a ksuba. But why does she get a ksuba? We thought it was a mekachtos. So Elam Arava, Bein Yikerba, Bein Lo Yikerba, L'Rav Meir Masayim. No, so we have to reset. According to Rav Meir, whether he knew that she was a mukas eitz going in or not, the ksuva is 200 according to Rav Meir. The Rabbanan, and it's only the shita of the Rabbanan, Hikirba mane, if he knew that she was a mukas eitz, then the ksuba is a mane. Lo hikirba v'lo klum, if he didn't know that she was a mukas eitz, then she gets nothing. V'hadar bei Rava. However, Rava retracted from this, Rava retracted from this shita, and that the Rabbanan say that if he didn't recognize that she was a mukas eitz, then she gets no ksuva at all. Rather, whether he recognizes the condition or not, she's going to get a ksuva of 100, according to the Chachamim, just like, according to Rav Meir, whether he recognizes the situation or not, she is going to get a ksuva of 200, according to Rav Meir. How do we know that Rav retracted? Because of the following. Ditanya. Ketzer Atzah Shemra. What is the case of Atzah Shemra, where a guy is mostly Shemra on a woman? So Bolu Basin, Vyamar Ploni Lamatzasi Labitcha Basulim. If a guy comes to Basin and says, I didn't find any Basulim in your daughter. So Yesh Edem Shazinsa Tachtav, if she has Edem, that she was Mizane under him. In other words, if this nos happened after they were engaged, so Yesh Lo Ksuva Maneh, then she has a Ksuva of a Maneh, because, uh, because she's a ba'ula. But im yesh edim shezinsa tachtav, but says the Gemara, im yesh edim shezinsa tachtav baskili. Well, time out. We're saying that if there were edim that she had the znus while they were engaged, then she's going to get the ksuv of mana because she's a ba'ula. There's a bigger problem, because if she had znus when they were engaged, then she's subject to the death penalty. So forget about the ksuba. She is subject to the death penalty over here, and therefore she is going to be, chayev skila. The Ritva says even if there was no edim and asra, so you're not going to actually be mechayev or skila. Certainly, she was over an avera. She was over a terrible avera. You're not going to reward her by giving her a ksuba. Says the Gemara Hachi Kamar. Im yesh edim shezinsa tachtav beskila. If there were edim that she was mezana while they were engaged, then she gets skila. Zinsa meikara. If, however, she was a beula from before they met each other, then yesh lo ksuva samane. Then she gets a ksuva of amane. Vam rav chia barav and rav sheshe zos ameres kansa becheskas besula venimseis beula yesh lo ksuva amane. This guy thought he was marrying a besula. Turns out he was marrying a beula. Could have had a taina of mekachtos, but no. We see what happens is that he gets a, that he does have to give her a ksuva of a mane. In other words, it's not like a case of mekachtos. Rather, it's like a case of kano machzerona. He thought he was getting a besula. He's getting a beula. Okay, so he has to pay a little bit less, but he can't taina mekachtos entirely. Umosev Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman asked the following: I know say a sisha, a person marries a woman, v'lamatzalo besulam, and doesn't find besulam. He omeres misharastani ne'nasti v'nesab chasadeyu. She said, I was raped after we got engaged, therefore it's your mazel, and you have to pay me a ksuva of 200. I was a besulam when we got engaged. Hu omer lo ki ela adshelo erastich, that this happened before we were engaged, via mekhi mekachtos, and it's a mekachtos, v'les lo klal, and therefore she doesn't get anything. V'yamarlu Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, and Rabbi Chiya bar Avin said, Efshar Rav Amram v'chol g'delei ador yosfi ki amar Rav Sheshes lo shmaitza v'kashalei v'kashalu v'shanu my mekachtos. So is it possible that everybody was sitting there and they were just silent? So what does it mean? My mekachtos, nami memasayim, avamane islay. No, it doesn't mean a mekachtos, and therefore she should be entitled to nothing. What it means is a mekachtos, that she should be entitled to masayim, and therefore she's only entitled to a mane, but she's not going to be a masayim. Piat amris lesla kal, and you're going to say that she gets nothing? How could it be? I thought there is no din of mekachtos. The amarava, manda kamosav la shaper kamosav, mekachtos lagamri mashma, vela kashahach. But there's a kasha, because there's a mash. In other words, we have conflicting brises over here, whether she gets nothing or whether she gets the ksuva of 100. Says the Gemara, tritz ve'mahachi, and yesh edim shezinsa tachtav beskila. If there were edim that she was mezana while they were involved in the relationship, then she gets skila. Zinsa meikara v'lo klum. If she was mezana meikara v'lo klum, if she physically had bia with somebody before they were engaged, then she gets nothing, because it's a mekachtos. Nimtzeis mukas eitz yesh lo ksuva mane. If it turns out that she's a mukas eitz, then she gets a ksuva of a mane. Va Rava Udamar lo rabbanan lo ikir bo v'lo klum. Aye, but wasn't it Rava who said that according to the Chachamim, if he marries her thinking that she's a besula and it turns out that she's a mukas eitz, he didn't know that she's a mukas eitz, she doesn't get anything. Now you're telling me that a mukas eitz gets a ksuva of 100? Elashmamina hadabei Rava meahi. That's the raya that Rava retracted from that brisa. And therefore, the bottom line is, according to Rava, whether he knew going into the marriage that she was a mukas eitz or not, if she is, according to Rameyer, she is going to get the ksuva of 200. According to the Chachamim, she's only going to get the ksuva of 100. So we'll stop here. We'll pick up Tanur Rabbanan 3 lines up from the bottom tomorrow. Hope everybody has an easy and a meaningful fast.